This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Almost Famous Podcast. It is me this week. Ben is still out on his honeymoon. I think he might be like in transit back to home from St. Bartholomew, whatever you call it. So he'll be back next week to regale us with all of his honeymoon tales, or at least the details that he'll let us in on. Very excited about that. But today we have Jacqueline Trumbull. You may remember her as the psychologist. She was studying psychology when she was on Ari's season. And she's just about to wrap up her current PhD program at Duke University. So we're going to have her come on and talk about this episode, which, guys, like, what is going on? I cannot believe Clayton is the bachelor. That is my biggest takeaway. Still can't believe it. But before we get her on the line, I do want to give out our batch bracket rule of the week. Are you ready for it? Batch bracket rule of the week for week 7 is -5 points. If a contestant says they are, quote, jealous of another contestant or another contestant's relationship or time with Michelle. So this will be for the, I believe, the hometown date episode. So look out for the word jealous. All right, let's get Jacqueline in, catch up with her for a second before we dive into the episode. And man, like, I think her background in psychology might help us break it down a bit. We got Jacqueline Trumbull on the line. Do I say guys too much? I'm always like, okay, guys. Hey, guys. I'm sorry. That must be very annoying for y'all out there. But Jacqueline is here. And Jacqueline, what are you up to? We knew that you were studying psychology back on RE season, but you're going for your PhD now at Duke.
I am, yeah. I'll be doing that for approximately forever.
How much longer do we have until you're a practicing psychologist?
Yeah, it's a 6-year program. So I'm in the third year right now. And then after that, I still won't be licensed for like another 2 years. So maybe when I'm 37, I'll make money.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'd love to hear how you think you watch the Bachelor franchise differently because of your studies.
Oh gosh. I think I mean, more than anything, I think I just watch how like produced and manipulated it is. And then I see, you know, the contestants' reactions to like what's happening to them.
Do you think that's from your experience on the show, or do you think that's from?
I didn't feel overtly manipulated at the time, but I can see how the same like storylines keep happening.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Just, you know, just like some tinkering. But what I found really interesting about the show on my time and now is that it felt like it created its own little culture, and certain things that wouldn't necessarily be cool out or normal out in the real world were suddenly totally acceptable. You're the, you know, crier from your season. I also felt like I was crying every 4.5 seconds. Mm-hmm. So I felt like this like culture of strong emotions was really pushed there. And it felt good to be like really open and vulnerable and have really different kinds of conversations than in normal life. Mm-hmm. And so one thing I think is interesting is like when people criticize contestants who are watching from the outside, not understanding that the way you're kind of encouraged to be is totally different and the rules are just different. I don't know. It was just really interesting.
Yes, totally. There was a conversation in this week's episode, which we'll break down in a second, that felt super edited. And I wonder if you picked up on it.
Oh, maybe. Which one?
Yes.
Gosh. Okay. What felt super? I don't know.
Martin.
Okay, well, not, I figured...
Yeah, not his conversation with Michelle, but his conversation that he had with the guys.
Oh.
Because I was, like, not understanding where Olu was getting his info. For, like, I was like, Okay. How is he getting?
I definitely felt like something was missing there.
Something's missing, right? So I had to go back. Yeah. And then when I did rewind and I watched it again, I was like, oh, there's a lot of Martin talking without him, his face showing.
Okay.
So those are like one of those moments.
The one thing I noticed is all it was like, it seems like he's telling her something different than what he's telling us. But right? I felt like all we saw him tell them was what happened. I mean, he kept insisting that she made an incorrect interpretation, which I don't think was true, but I don't know. It didn't feel like he was saying anything all that different. So I was a little confused by that.
Yeah.
He's clearly kind of a dick in general.
I mean, just bad vibes, right? I don't know. Like Martin just has given me bad vibes for a while. So it's like, even though it felt like something was missing, I was still like, okay, I'm going to trust this. And I think that like between you and I, we can probably say that even though like there is always a lot missing from the show's context because we are being filmed 24/7 and they crunch it down to an hour and 20 minutes, we can say that generally it's you get what actually happened in the airing version.
Yeah, I mean, when I watched back, I definitely felt like my storyline had been manipulated, but it wasn't in a way that bothered me too much. Mm-hmm. And I felt like in general, the kind of essences of the people were like pretty accurate. Like, I don't remember thinking, oh, that person got like really shafted.
Yeah. The essence. Oh, I like that. That's funny. Yeah. Okay. Well, have you been dating? Do you have a boyfriend? Is there any like updates since you were dating Ari?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm getting married in July.
OMG! So- That's amazing. Congrats. How'd you guys meet?
So he's actually a psych professor at Duke. So that's, just scandalous. He came and gave
Oh my God, so scandalous, but also meow.
He's in a different kind of psych, so we have no overlap. Like, he doesn't teach any classes that I take, and we have a whole management plan. Basically, he gave a guest lecture in one of my classes, and I just thought he was super cute. And he like talked a little bit about his life. I was like, I mean, he is like an artist. That's one of his paintings back there. And I was like, I like to paint and all these overlaps. And so I basically just made it my mission to go seduce this person. So I got him to meet up with, I like slid in his DMs on Twitter, and then we started talking a lot, met up with him. And then as soon as we basically acknowledged there was something going on, we like went to HR and they made a management plan for us. So just, I know people have feelings about me dating a professor, but yeah, that's how we met. And I'm waiting. So I proposed to him a couple weekends ago, and he is proposing to me within the month.
You proposed to him. Tell us how you decided to do that non-traditional move.
Yeah, so it wasn't even, I wasn't like aiming to be non-traditional or anything like that, but I have horrible commitment issues. And in the first year of our relationship, I just made him crazy because I was non-committal, and then he made me crazy because he was reacting to that. And so I got it into my head that maybe I would propose to him because that would be like a show of real commitment and security. Mm-hmm. And then by the time we actually were really talking about getting married, I was like, screw that. I want the ring and the big proposal and everything. So I knew he was planning something. And I just said that to him. I was like, I kind of had this idea. And he was like, damn it, not, I want a proposal too. So then I was like, okay, seriously? He's like, yeah, I want you to propose to me. So then I came up with this whole proposal.
Did you do it with a ring?
I did. Yeah. I got a gold signet ring with the letter J. So, he'll always have me with him.
Aww. Did you get down on one knee?
No, I put it, so this isn't supposed to be the serious proposal, but when I asked what he wanted for his proposal, he pointed at his penis. So I got a pair of underwear, like monogram to say, like, will you marry me? And then he had to like, look at my ass.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious. I have another girlfriend who she proposed to her boyfriend too. And it like started out as a joke like 2 years earlier. And then he was like, no, you said it. You're going to do it one day. Like, this is how we're going to do it. So like, she did it.
Uh-huh. It went over well.
And now, the wedding is also this coming summer.
Oh, nice. Everyone is getting married this summer. Yeah. Everyone. Yeah.
Have you started planning? Do you have a date and all that?
I have a date and a venue.
Okay, great. As long as you secured that venue, because yeah,
I know.
2022 is supposed to be like the most popular wedding year ever because of so many people who've had to push it back to that year.
I know.
All right. Well, let's dive into this episode, but first we have to take a break. So I'll be right back. Okay, part one. We see Michelle's men talking to some of Michelle's students. We don't know if they're current students. They seem very young. And I thought that she's teaching like fifth grade, but they are all very adorable. And they're kind of like quizzing them and they're figuring out who they like. They're asking silly questions about like farts and stuff. I think it was actually very adorable until they really pretend, until production made it seem like the kids really planned these dates and then they took it so seriously. I'm like, okay, the audience isn't dumb. These kids didn't book the planetarium.
They book the planetarium and ask really probing questions, you know, and write them on little slips.
Yes. She ends up going on the date with Clayton. So what have your feelings on Clayton been so far? Because going into this date, I was like, okay, knowing that he's the bachelor, we're going to like grow to love him. We are going to get so much out of him during this one date, and he's going to be a shoo-in for top four. And he'll be kind of the dark horse.
Yeah. Well, I was definitely expecting to see more given what we know happens with him. Mm-hmm. He seems like, he just seems like the bachelor from 2015. Like he just seems totally that type. He's really sweet. He says the lines, you know, with like total sincerity, tears in his eyes. I just want to find love, you know, so I can see why they chose him. But other than that, it's like it was just such a normal, like not particularly exciting date or episode.
He just did nothing for me on this date, and he obviously did nothing
for Michelle.
So I was like, I had to like pause it, and I was left just mind boggled. I was like, wait a second, this is the end of his story and he has become the bachelor? This is wild. He doesn't even make top four. And then they like kind of take a quick break and they go into the scene where he's reading letters from the quote children. Do you believe that these letters are from the children or did the children write them in their child handwriting and they were maybe like fed some lines?
Well, this just makes me want, because I think either could happen. I mean, I wonder how much effort the producers put in. Like if they were assigned a producer and that producer sat down with them and was like basically planting ideas about how to write and they wrote it together. But it's certainly not like the children took it upon themselves to write these letters for Dear Clayton.
And I mean, he acts as if they truly did. But I also feel like there was like a hint, there had to be a hint of acting because we felt nothing between them. I just feel like he was kind of told like, hey, we don't have a bachelor for next season. Just wanted to put that in your head before you make your final camera appearance.
Yeah, it's really just bizarre. I mean, it really seems like they were just that desperate to get back to a white bachelor, like that they were willing to do this. I mean, it just makes no sense to me that they would take somebody who's top eight and had no connection with the lead. I mean, you could see like at dinner, she had already gone in deciding she doesn't want to date this person. Like her face was shut off. She was totally locked down. I mean, it was just, I don't know what he could have possibly be thinking. Like if I were him, I would be completely floored if somebody said, you have bachelor potential or like you're our guy.
Same. So then like when he reads these letters and then he starts like going into this, you know, emotional release about how he just really wants a wife and kids. Like now he just really wants a wife and kids. But he was just telling Michelle the day before that like it was something that he hadn't thought about for a while, but like apparently being with her, like he had this big revelation that now he's ready for it. And it was just, it was really like they were like, okay, we don't have a bachelor, so let's throw this little scene together and hopefully people buy it. And right. I didn't buy it.
Well, I didn't buy it either. But the thing is, like, I could have bought it if they had showed more of him earlier on. I mean, there's got to be some reason they're going for this guy.
But at the same time, isn't it alarming that, like, we apparently saw the highlight reel of this guy?
Right. There's nothing else to show.
Yeah. Like, they've had so much opportunity to show his shining moments. And apparently we saw his shining moments and there was nothing shiny about it. Poor guy. I mean, I guess maybe they're just thinking like, yeah, we have like this cookie cutter bachelor of like Brad Walmack past, and we'll let right. the ladies take the lead and make the season. But I think it's going to be really, really hard to get Bachelor Nation on board with this guy, because there's just, we have no connection, no reason to really root for him. If it weren't for this podcast, I can't imagine me being like, oh yeah, can't wait to tune in to see this guy fall in love. Am I being too honest?
I mean, there's no such thing. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, do you have a hypothesis as to why they chose him? I mean, there was two seasons of men to pick from.
Right. Peter Weber and I came up with the only thing I could think of as far as just selecting from this season. It was maybe if they picked one of the top four guys, mm-hmm. they would think that they were like spoiling this season too much, because then we okay. would like have a guy that we just, because, you know, we saw that Clayton became the bachelor like what, 2 months ago? We've known this.
Oh, I see.
So like maybe they didn't want it to be one of the top four guys, because then it would just kind of ruin all speculation as to who she ends up with once it got down to the nitty gritty of her season.
Yeah, I guess. But they did that. They were okay doing that with Rachel Lindsay.
Yeah, I'm saying it's not a good enough excuse. It's certainly not good enough. If anything, they could have done like just a stunt casting. Like, let's just get a celebrity on there. There's a lot of celebrities that, you know, like even like a Dancing with the Stars rollover, somebody who's like won or been prominent on that we could like steal over from The Bachelor. I don't know.
Even someone from Paradise. I don't know. Just any. Right. I thought they're going to go with Greg for a while. That's what Ray and Steve was saying, but I mean, that would have been risky, but
I still wouldn't have been a fan of that decision, but at least it's more gripping than
right.
than this one.
Greg Grippo.
Yeah, exactly. I was trying to make a pun there. All right. Well, enough crapping on Clayton. Let's move into this week's group date. All right. So the remaining guys are on this one. We find out that Brandon is going to get his one-on-one. So we have Rick, Rodney, Joe, Nate, Martin, and Olu on this one. Cute that they have to go to a farm and milk the cows. It's fun to see the guys like getting their hands dirty and stuff like that. Any thoughts on that portion of the date?
Yeah, just standard bachelor.
Very standard bachelor. The nighttime portion is when it gets interesting, mostly because of this Martin thing. So she sits down with Martin and, well, actually, I don't know what happened first. She either sits down with Martin and it goes just swimmingly, which is absolutely fine. Yeah, and then Olu comes in afterward and says, like, this is what Martin's been saying behind your back. Olu says he's been calling her immature, says that she hasn't, like, faced issues from her past based on her poem that she read, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And then he also just kind of said, he kind of alludes to the fact that there was like a miscommunication last week, and maybe there was even a miscommunication the week before last as well between the two of them. And he says something about her just not listening. So like, that was what I really gathered from that conversation amongst the men, was that she wasn't listening to him. But that's not the issue that Olu brought to Michelle.
Right.
He said he focused more on the immature thing and the fact that she hasn't faced issues of her past. Olu obviously has been somebody who's proven to be trustworthy And once she hears this from him, she brings Martin back in. And how did you feel about how this went down?
I mean, the problem is that he's so abrasive and just doesn't. The way he reacted in the limo was so immature that it kind of cast a shadow back on what was going on in the conversation. Right. This happens all the time. Like, I can totally see how he could have actually said she has insecurities from her past. And that was like a normal thing to say because everyone does. And maybe he was commenting on that in some way. And then all of a sudden he's confronted with this like misinterpretation of that, if it indeed was. And I can see how like he would feel cornered and frustrated and like want to get his point out and not feel like he can, but he was just such an asshole.
Yeah.
That it's like, I don't even kind of care what his perspective is here.
Right. His overall vibe is just, it just hasn't been good for me. And right. He is not the finest communicator. And then yes, to top it off, what he says in the car about him never wanting to have been with her after something like that, that was just kind of like gross.
I didn't mind him the first like one-on-one date they had. I thought he was again kind of harsh and abrasive.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't think he was making bad points. I enjoyed that they talked about like their perspectives for once and like their different ways of communicating. Like, I thought that was a cool change for The Bachelor, which usually is just about like, here's my trauma story. Yeah. Do you accept it? Yes. Okay. Move on. But yeah, he's not. No. He lived up to his douchey hairdo, I think.
There we go. And that's how we'll end speaking about Martin. The one-on-one date between Michelle and Brandon, it's just like a hometown spot date. So they go to her favorite ice cream place. Then she keeps saying that she can see him being her best friend. They go to the parents' house. And like, this is another super stagey moment where it's like, yeah, my parents aren't home. Do you want to see you around? And then they're in the hot tub making out when her parents come home. It's like, okay, dude, you've got to know that Michelle knew her parents were going to come home.
I would think so. I did still think I thought it was like cheeky enough that I didn't mind the like clear production interference.
Okay. So he ends up sitting down with her parents, and there's just like something about Brendan that feels like the high school boyfriend to me, like that she's giddy over. Yeah. And he just feels young. He's very sweet, but there is just something missing for me. But I don't think it's actually missing for Michelle. So I need to speak on behalf of Michelle, who seems to be like absolutely swooned, totally smitten with him. When they sit down at dinner and he says that, I feel like I'm falling in love with you. Like, she says, my heart is beating so rapidly. Like, you can almost feel like she wants to say it back to him. There's the whole best friend thing again. And that's what she really, really wants in a relationship. And he even goes as far as to ask the parents for permission, if it is him in the end, for permission to get down on one knee. Yeah. And the mom is like, yeah, he's very sweet. I like him. And then the dad's like, doesn't have anything to say. And I feel like that's how I would have nothing to, because I felt like the dad in that moment where it was like, sorry, dude, I don't have enough to go on right now. What's your take on this?
No, I totally agree. I thought it was a really sweet date. I really liked him. And I'm like, he is 10 years out from being married.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about him that makes me feel this. Because he is like such a nice guy. He's really done nothing wrong, but like just be totally in awe of her.
Right. I'm kind of worried about her because I get the same vibes from Nate, kind of.
Yeah, like similar.
Right. On their one-on-one date, she was like, she asked him about his previous relationships and he was like, well, I had one relationship where I couldn't be a big kid anymore. And I was like, oh no. So it just kind of reminds me a little bit of this.
Oh, and then this episode, we find out that Nate he has never brought a girl home, which, you know, I don't want to fault them for that. Like, I had never brought a guy home when I ended up being with Jared, who I met on the show. So I can't really fault them for that. But there is a lot of inexperience when it comes to these guys, I feel.
Yeah, and she's already at risk for that because she's already said she's somebody who just gives everything to the point of almost needing a feeding tube. Oh, by the way, she said in a previous episode, I'm like, I gotta need this woman to marry an adult male, you know, who's actually gonna like pour himself into the relationship. So yeah, Brandon seems like really young. He looks really young. Mm-hmm. He says kind of cliche things about love. He's doughy-eyed. I mean, he's super sweet, but totally.
Okay, good. Because it's like, no hate, Brandon, but like, right. But I don't see this being the longest term thing. Okay. Then we get to the rose ceremony. There's no cocktail party. She knows what she's doing. I think we all kind of know what she's doing. Rodney is, to me in my head, the obvious guy who will not be making the top three. Mm-hmm. He is the guy who is definitely going to make the top four, but definitely the weak link there. And then Rick and Olu just, to me, were the obvious send-homes. What about you?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I was between Rick and Rodney about who would be sent.
That's respectable. Home. Yep.
But I mean, Olu used his time with her this week to talk about Martin. So it's almost like he knew he was heading out. I don't know.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that.
All right. Well, in the sneak peek, we see a lot of dads. We see a lot of, but the one dad is still the standout from last week, which is the dad who says, no, he's not ready to get engaged. And now that I analyze this man's face a little bit more, I'm going to first ask you whose dad you think that is.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, maybe he was saying he's not ready for dinner or something. Oh, no. Because they could totally like recognize that out. Nate?
I think it's Joe's. So now I feel like...
Okay, yeah.
So now I feel like you and I have both established that Nate and Brandon not ready for marriage, but...
And now we've got a third.
Now we have a third. And it's the other third guy that she likes the most. Of course, Rodney is probably the one that's actually ready for marriage.
Yeah, I'm worried about Michelle. She's one of my favorite leads so far. I think she's doing such a great job.
She's so wonderful.
She just kind of go like 30 and up. That would be a good start. Like, I mean, hopefully like 32, 33 years old and up for the men.
Yeah.
Brandon's only 26.
Oh, okay. So he actually is young.
So he's actually young. Yeah. Yeah, it's not his fault.
I mean, I was 26 at the beginning of this journey. But and you were young too, weren't you?
26.
Oh, we were both 26. Okay. Yeah. But then look, like I didn't get married until 31 and you're not getting married until you're 33.
No, I'm 30.
I'm not doing the math right because RE season was like 3 years after mine. Yeah.
Well, now there's so many. It feels like RE season was like 10 years ago.
I know.
There's like a million season a year. Yeah. I don't think I was ready until this year, and men need an extra 5 years to bake. Usually, I'd say.
Yeah, probably. You know? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, do you have any more thoughts? Who do you see ending up with her at the end of this?
Anyone? Oh, I'm spoiled.
So oh, you are? Say. Okay.
I'm spoiled.
Don't spoil me. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jacqueline, for joining us. And if you guys want more of Jacqueline's thoughts on like really life, right? You have a podcast and it's not just about Bachelor. You've had a Bachelor podcast before. But now, what are you talking about on your podcast, A Little Help for Our Friends?
Yeah, so A Little Help for Our Friends is a mental health podcast. So we've had a couple of Bachelor Nation people on, but it's to talk about mental health related topics. So like we had Zach Clark talk about addiction. We had Ben Higgins come on actually and talk about his book and loneliness. But really our focus is on how mental health is like a system-wide problem. So it's not just the person experiencing a disorder, it's their friends and family and what they go through and how they try to help. And that can be a really frustrating and lonely experience. So that's why it's called A Little Help for Our Friends. It's how can you help your friends who are struggling?
Oh, and, wonderful. Yeah, before we let you go, what is one bit of like huge advice, like just the advice that you would give to the general public if your friends are going through a bad time?
Definitely to validate. And that doesn't mean that you agree with them.
Okay.
It can be, you can totally disagree with somebody and still validate how they're feeling, because you're not validating the facts of the situation. You know, if they say my life is terrible, I hate everything, you're not saying, yeah, your life is terrible. It must be so hard to go through your life feeling that way. You must be going through so much to feel that way. Because a lot of the times we try to go in and fix or problem solve. Mm-hmm. And usually what people want to feel is heard and like they're met. And so just starting with that and really listening can take you very far.
All right. That's fantastic advice. Thank you so much. And thank you for being here today. It was very fun to break it down with you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
All right. See you, Jacqueline. Bye.
See ya. Bye.
All right. Well, we had to let Jacqueline go, but we have Bachelor headlines for you guys. And OMG, are they juicy. Let's start with this one Us Weekly headline. Michelle Young, she says, I ended up in a situation I didn't expect on The Bachelorette. All right. So here's the quote. She said, I had no idea I would be in the position that I was in at the end of the season. The ending is something that I didn't necessarily expect. Something that I didn't think was possible for me. I'm excited for everyone to kind of see what it entails because I think a lot of assumptions are being made, you know, of either who I end up with or if I end up with anyone. And when it comes down to it, I came into this knowing that I was going to stay true to who I was. And that means staying true to what your feelings are and talking about where you're at with your feelings. I'm a person who typically embraces opportunities as they come. And I can't pinpoint whether or not I'm going to be in Minnesota, you know, next year or the year after that. I fully plan to finish out the school year, but I don't know what opportunities are going to come my way. Whether there's somebody involved in my life, whether there's not, that always would be a team decision. So I can't say that, yes, I'm 100% going to stay in Minnesota for the rest of my life. I can say that I'm open to all opportunities. I'll take them in. I'll make decisions as I go. And I'll make sure that I'm happy with the work I'm doing. All right. To analyze this on my own, it sounds as if Michelle is not necessarily staying in Minnesota, which I feel in my bones would eliminate Joe as being the guy that she ends up with, right? Because if she were to end up with Joe, they would definitely be settling in Minnesota. And I wonder what opportunity she's speaking of, because I always kind of thought that she would want to stick with teaching, but maybe she'll want to do other things and then come back to teaching down the road. All right. Well, a lot to analyze there because she says whether I'm with somebody or whether I'm not with somebody. I guess that's kind of standard to like keep it open-ended like that. But she says it so many times. Now I'm thinking like, does she not end up with anybody? I really, truly don't know the ending of this. And I'm very excited that I think Ben and I are in like the third or fourth season where I don't know any spoilers. I don't even have to pretend with you guys or try to lead you astray. Like, I truly don't know what happens at the end of this. So, oh my goodness gracious. The next headline is the saddest headline I think I've read on this podcast as far as relationships go in a while. Tayshia Adams and Zach Clark split. They called off their relationship nearly 1 year after their finale aired. Us Weekly can confirm that Tayshia Adams and Zach Clark are no longer a couple. The news comes 3 days after Life and Style reported that they were on a break, which was something I was really, really hoping was true. I was like, oh, a break. You know, we can get over a break. But no, People Magazine and Us Weekly both reported yesterday that they are officially split. I don't think that either one of them addressed it on their Instagrams yet. So we'll see. But this comes on the heels of them running the New York City Marathon together on November 7th. We don't have any quotes from the couple or anything like that. But I'm sad because I think you guys know that over the past couple years, Zach and Tayshia were like the couple that had that final moment, you know, that engagement moment that made me feel all the feels. It made me feel like it was like old school Bachelor, where like this was just like intense, passionate love. And the way that Tayshia said that, like, she had never felt a love like this before, like maybe she had never been truly in love before. Oh my gosh. There was so much in that engagement moment and just all the moments leading up to their engagement. I really, really felt that couple, and this is very sad. So we wish them nothing but the best going forward, and, you know, give them their privacy, guys. Don't be writing crazy things on their Instagrams when they do end up announcing on Instagram. All right, Hannah Brown. Wow. She also made some serious headlines this week. It's unfortunate that she made these headlines just a day after we had Peter Weber on the podcast, because she came out about the fact that the two of them slept together in the midst of his season airing. As far as the details go, he dumped Hannah Ann. And after that, he ran into Hannah at an event, and then it led to her just visiting with him and his family at, you know, the family house outside LA. And they had sex one night, and she woke up and had breakfast with the family. Immediately, she felt a little off about it, but she reveals it in her book, and it's been juicy. And then there's another headline, and this is that she hasn't spoken to Tyler Cameron pretty much anymore. And it's so wild how we all interpreted her hangouts with Tyler at the quarantine crew house. We were thinking, you know, oh, this is totally romantic. They're totally hooking up, blah, blah, blah. But that was not the way it went at all. And she details it all in her new book, God Bless This Mess, in which she tells everyone that they didn't even kiss while they were there. She was, you know, kind of like recovering. She was dealing with getting over her brother's overdose, that Tyler was getting over the loss of his mother. And she said she was stuck in a house of yucky boys when COVID really hit. And she was truly just stuck in that house until she was able to safely leave. But this is also on the heels of Tyler's relationship with Gigi. So if you remember, this is the timeline of Hannah and Tyler. She ends up with Jed. And then on After the Final Rose, when it's announced that she's no longer with Jed, she kind of asks Tyler out, right? And then they go out, they're spotted. She thought it was the beginning of something. But just a day or two after, Tyler was spotted with Gigi Hadid in New York, and she says in the new book, God Bless This Mess, that she was deeply hurt by how he handled the situation. They weren't really open with each other. He didn't really explain that he was going to go on and date a supermodel and all that. So 6 months after that, the two of them reconnected at the loss of his mom and the overdose of her brother, which was just around the beginning of COVID. And that's how she ended up in the quarantine house. And even then, there was no real romance sparked. Okay. Hannah, I'm sure, details all of this in a podcast that we are releasing today with Wells Adams. He has filled in for Ben and I and interviewed Hannah all about the juicy things in her book. So make sure that you look out for that special edition of the Almost Famous podcast. Oh, wait, we can't move on from Hannah Brown and her book yet, because now we have a quote from Peter Weber addressing the fact that she came out about the secret hookup. He said this week, according to 2Fab, "I thought we were just going to keep it private, but I guess that wasn't the case. And I'm totally okay with it. It's all good. I don't mind any of this. We spent the night together. That was it. That was the last time that I saw her physically." All right. Well, that's very, very nice of him to be so understanding of what she reveals in the book. All right. In other Bachelor news, Astrid Locke and Kevin Wendt welcomed their first child after an IVF journey. She was, we don't know if it's she or he. They have not revealed the gender yet. The baby was born on November 20th at 2:02 a.m. And Kevin said that Astrid made his dreams come true. She is my absolute hero for everything she went through in the last 2 days at the hospital and the last 2 years of doing everything it took to get this perfect munchkin into the Wendt gang. We do not have pictures of the baby's face or the gender. So we'll see if that comes up. But congratulations to the couple. I'm very happy for them. That is awesome. Glad that mama and baby are both very happy and healthy. And then, you guys, drama in Katie Thurston's world. So she does this thing where she, like, I'm a little confused by this. Okay, I have to be honest. Like, I skimmed some of this stuff on Instagram. She ended up doing something to Taylor Swift's Red album where, like, every day she compared, like, a contestant or an ex, you know, a contestant from her season or an ex to her life. She called it the 12 Days of Messy Challenge. And at the end of this, she kind of reveals that she's with this guy, John, who I believe she eliminated week 3 of her season. She refers to her relationship with Blake Moynes, who she just, you know, announced her breakup with in October. That was, we are never getting back together, supposedly. That was the song that she's referencing him. And then Begin Again, she assigns to this guy, John, which we can only imagine means that she's beginning a romantic life again with this guy, John. So wild. Like, I'm mind blown. It raises a whole bunch of questions. Like, was her friendship with John, like, too intense for Blake to stick around? Was her feelings for this guy, John, the reason that she broke up with Blake? Like, I hope all this comes out. I mean, if she's going to follow Taylor Swift's lead here, she's got to give us some sort of hint to it, right? Because Taylor may not say everything verbatim, but she leads us in a certain direction. All right. So, Katie Thurston, give us more hints at what actually went on between this Blake John love triangle. Okay, and lastly, Brendan Morris and Piper updated fans on their relationship. If you guys remember, I guess like a month or two ago, they said that they had gone their separate ways, but in a new Instagram post, it seems as if the two have reunited. The past few months have been interesting to say the least, Brendan says on Instagram. A love forming between two people in the midst of mayhem is certainly a unique way to begin a relationship. We've had our ups and downs, our peaks and valleys, but what has prevailed is a special bond. Through God's grace and love, I remain thankful, looking forward to growing together and the lessons in love we'll experience along the way. Piper also took to Instagram to say, love is patient and kind. Thankful for you, Brendan. Every day I look forward to growing and learning more and more together. Well, you know what, guys? If this is true love, we can't be mad at it anymore, right? And it's happening not on TV. So again, can't be mad at it anymore. They're not messing with anybody else anymore. All right, well, that is it for this episode of Almost Famous. I hope you guys are not, you know, thoroughly annoyed by just listening to my voice for the past 20 minutes, because I would be. But I love you so much, and I'm so glad that you listen to our podcast. Next week, you'll hear the voice of an angel, Ben Higgins, all over again. Can't wait to get the details on their honeymoon. Until then, I've been Ashley. Bye, guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.